Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk historic Germanna this morning, and a big anniversary and a lot of things going on, and maybe you don't know a lot about historic Germanna, and we're going to talk about it this morning with Executive Director Jennifer Hurst-Wender. Jennifer, it's been too long since you've been here. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad to be here.
It is very good because it was until a few years ago when you started at Historic Germanna's when I really learned about it. And it's right there in our backyard. There is a ton of history and some really exciting things that you're discovering that we'll get into this morning. And you've got a conference and a reunion coming up. But for people who don't know, talk about it, because when you're going... where Germanna Community College is in Locust Grove, right. You're right there.
Right. Well, okay, so let's start by saying that if you're familiar with Germanna Community College and never wondered why it's called Germanna Community College, it's because of historic Germanna. So in 1714, Alexander Spotswood brought over the very first group of German immigrants, and they were indentured servants, and because they arrived and the monarch of the country at the time was Queen Anne, they combined the two names to create the name Germanna. And so that's why it's called that. And then in 1969, the historic organization of Historic Germanna actually donated 100 acres to the Commonwealth of Virginia. And they did that because they wanted to start a community college under the auspices of naming it Germanna Community College. So that's how we get that name.
I did not know that part of it. That is interesting. I always wondered how Germanna Community College ended up there in Locust Grove, where you're at. And that's so interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been wonderful. I mean, Germanna Community College is such a remarkable institution.
Yeah.
And we're so glad that the name Germanna has been able to be carried on into the 21st century like it has, thanks to the work that they've done. But, you know, as the historic source, I'm always here to talk about the really amazing history that we have there. I know, you know, this station is based in Fredericksburg, and we talk so much about George Washington and the Civil War, but this historic site, like I said, it dates back to 1714. We had another group of German colonists in 1717. And Alexander Spotswood, of course, is the reason that we have Spotsylvania County.
Right.
And so there's a lot more history in the 18th century, the early 18th century of this region.
Well, and you have uncovered, because even though today we're talking Orange County, but Spotsylvania and discovering the courthouse, to me, has been a fabulous discovery.
Right. So, currently, Historic Germanna, we have a wonderful visitor center and lots of trails, but we also have a very busy archaeological site. And so that archaeological site has the remnants of the 1714 Fort Germanna, and then also Alexander Spotswood's home, which ended up becoming called the Enchanted Castle.
Yeah.
And then Spotswood, because he was pretty industrious, ended up building a courthouse complex. So we also have the very first Spotsylvania courthouse on the property, which not only has the courthouse, it has a jail, it has an ordinary, it has a church, but it's all archaeological, so it's all underground still. But we've made some really remarkable discoveries in the past couple of years.
Oh, it has been, and a lot of it you can see, and you've been able to excavate around it, and you're starting to see some things. To me, that's what it is so interesting.
Yeah. So our team has been working on what we believe to be the courthouse building, and we found all four corners, all four sides of the walls. So now we know the dimensions of the building. We've been able to dig in what we think is a cellar pit. There's a huge charcoal layer. We're still trying to figure out if that meant that it burned or if that's just where they were dumping all of their fireplace coal. Yeah.
But boy, the archaeology people have done just like you said. I mean, they've done some remarkable things, and often there's a chance for the community to come and, you know, kind of look over their shoulder and as they describe things.
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, Thursday, July 16th, we're holding a public archaeology day. So all of our archaeologists will be out there to talk to the public. They'll have some exhibits on display. The thing about our archaeology site is that it's a little bit hard to get to, and it's a one-lane road to get down there. So unfortunately, we do have to have public days so we can monitor the amount of traffic that comes through. But our next public day is going to be July 16th. So it's extraordinarily family-friendly, but it's fun for people of all ages. So I highly recommend that you guys go out there.
Oh, it is. To be able to see it and talk and have them describe things, it really is. If you're looking to do an art, if you've never done an archaeology day, you should. And you make it so easy.
Right. And the archaeologists are just constantly pulling things out of the ground. So you go there and you get to see something that hasn't been seen for hundreds of years.
Right.
First time, you know, first day it's out of the ground in hundreds of years.
Well, and the story of the Enchanted Castle too. I mean, you've known where that's been for a while, and work you've learned so much about the Enchanted Castle.
Yeah, so the Enchanted Castle is actually the reason that the archaeology site exists. There was going to be a neighborhood that was going to be built on top of the Enchanted Castle. And, I mean, this was in the 1980s. And a group of concerned citizens ended up joining together to purchase that property because they knew that that's where the Enchanted Castle was. So there's been archaeology that has happened at the site since the 1980s. And, you know, Mary Washington University was a big proponent in the early years of making sure that that the Enchanted Castle was documented. And so architecturally, it is remarkable. I mean, you can still see the pristine fishbone brick pathways around the house. Just recently, we started uncovering the attached dependencies of the Enchanted Castle. So we've really been able to see what meals they were eating in the kitchen, what kind of objects, you know, they may have left behind, which has been super cool.
Well, this is why when I discovered you a few years ago, and we haven't even talked, we'll talk as the show goes on about Salubria and just what's there. But I have just said there it's a gold mine there of history and things that you continue to just discover. And we're just fortunate that, you know, that you're there and involved in so many things, because they're really, you really can learn a lot about history, and historic Germania played a big role, as we'll go into this morning.
Right. Yeah. So, and one of the things that I love about our archaeology team is we have historians, but the archaeologists are history scientists. And so while historians are storytellers, the archaeologists are using science to say, this is what happened. We have the archaeological remains. This is the layer that we're in. This is the time that this object was in this place. So the mixture of the science and the history is just remarkable.
It is Germania.org. Germania.org is the website for historic Germania. Jennifer Hurst Wender here. Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Jennifer Hurst Wender is here this morning from Historic Germania, Germania. I knew I was going to do that. And I looked at that this morning and I said, I will not, because every time you come in here at some time, I'll say it's Germania.org, Germania.org, not the other place. Wow. I had really psyched myself out that I would not do that. Germania.org for Historic Germania. And so, Jennifer, one of the things we haven't talked about is Salubria.
Right.
And what a jewel that is. I think of all historic places around here, that might be my most favorite.
Oh, wow.
Just because it's so untouched.
Mm-hmm.
And it's it's just a terrific site.
Yeah. So, so you know, I've talked about the visitor center and our archaeology site, and we have all of these trails. But Historic Germana also owns Salubria, which is in Culpeper. It's 8 miles down Route 3 from our visitor center. And Salubria is open right now. It's open from Memorial Day to Labor Day, Thursday, Fridays, and some Saturdays. So you get the opportunity to go in and see it. Now, what Salubria is a house that was constructed in 1757 by Spotswood's widow, Butler Brain, and her second husband, Reverend John Thompson. And it's a Georgian-style manor home, which is really popular in the Tidewater area, but we're talking, you know, Culpeper, you can see the mountains in the background.
Yeah.
This is a very strange architectural style to have out there. But the really cool thing about Salubria is that up until 2011, there was no electricity. And even now, there's just one line of electricity. It's never had plumbing. It's never had HVAC systems, which means if you visit, make sure you dress cool because it's hot in there. So the layers of paint are, you know, there's very few changes to the layers of paint. There's very few changes to the house.
Yeah.
There's no furnishings in there, so you really get to experience a kind of a preservation in the raw at Salubria.
Yeah, that's the great thing about it. You just walk around there and you just feel like it's, you know, back in the colonial times, and even the bricks on the mm-hmm. on the outside, there's great story. You can see there's handprints on some of the bricks.
Yeah, so it is a brick house, and a lot of the sides are partially stuccoed. The cool thing about the bricks is we believe that they were made on the property, and so when you visit Salubria, you'll actually see kind of a falling garden where there's terraces that go down, and they are contemporary with the construction of the house. So what we believe is that really great red clay in the area was mined to make those terraces and also to make the bricks for the house. And you can see in a couple of the bricks fingerprints from where they were pressed. So we believe that was probably the hands of the people who were enslaved that were making those bricks. So that's a really amazing connection to that history.
I don't know if there's another place like it that's like that, that's so untouched, because you just mm-hmm. you feel like you walk in there and you're going back in time.
Yeah. Well, and so recently we received a grant from the National Park Service to do a historic structures report. And we also received another grant to do a paint analysis of the house. So we've been uncovering all of these remarkable details about the different ages and changes that were made to the house over the years, what colors people painted the house over successive generations. And we're finding out some really amazing stuff. So we know the second layer of paint was now a very rare yellow. So if you could imagine the interior of Salubria being a bright yellow and then the trim being painted a bright green. And so that was the height of fashion in the late 18th century.
Who knew?
Right?
I would never guess that. And that's because photographs from that time obviously are black and white. So you don't always think
of what colors
of what colors things yeah. are.
Now that would have been, you know, colonial or with the early American era. So just uncovering that. I mean, to me, it seems like a very garish paint scheme. You
it
know,
it does. You just you never think of it like that. Well, it's like the Fredericksburg Area Museum has when they'll show dresses or things from Civil War time. Mm-hmm. In the different colors, and you take a look at that, and you just think you don't think of that. But boy, I would if you'd said, you know, what color isn't in Salubria, I would say take yellow right off.
Right, yeah. And then a later paint was actually right after the yellow was a verdigris green. Which is the most expensive paint color that you can have. Now, interestingly enough, you can see that verdigris. Stratford Hall recently repainted a lot of their house in that verdigris. The thing that makes it so expensive is that it's copper. So the copper oxide is that green, just like, you know, you have the Statue of Liberty is green, right? But they had to have that copper oxide imported from Europe in order to make the verdigris paint. So it's by far the most expensive color of paint. So that was after the yellow, they painted it that very rich green.
So is there a long-range plan for Salubria?
So the historic structures report that we've done has not only told us so much about the people and the architecture of the house, but it's also, we have a plan for the educational, you know, future, how we're going to interpret the house. And one of the things that we're doing by the end of the year is actually putting the first permanent exhibit into Salubria.
Okay.
And so we're going to be using objects that we found in the attic during kind of an attic archaeology. To tell the story of Salubria through those objects. A lot of them are going to be actually 3D printed replicas because, like I said, there's no air conditioning, so we didn't want things like paper or cloth to deteriorate.
Yeah.
So we have 3D replicas of a lot of the things that are being made right now.
That'll be interesting just to be able to do more and just describe more. One of the great times, because you took me up, we went up in the attic, we went down in the basement, which is just, again, just fabulous to see something like that up close. Like, it's so historic and so up close.
Yeah, and you know, there's not really very many super famous people associated with Salubria, so it really tells you more of a subtle story of people, not only of the class that would have lived in Salubria, but just kind of the culture of the area. You know, this was the biggest. This was the biggest structure at the time in what is now Stevensburg. At the time, it was called York. And the role that these large plantation homes had in their small communities, you know, can be told through these objects that we found in the attic and through what we know from the people.
Well, it's just the fact that style of house you only see in Tidewater,
right.
it ended up in Culpeper.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the Spotswoods, so Alexander Spotswood had a house in Yorktown. He was very influential in the construction and architecture of Williamsburg. So, you know, when you're talking about the Governor's Palace or the Powder Magazine, you know, those were all things that he had a hand in designing. And so we know that the Enchanted Castle, which was Spotswood's home, was also extraordinarily grand, especially for being where it was at the time.
Right.
And so his widow, she's from London, and she comes to, you know, the colony of Virginia, moves way out into the wilderness, but she still has that level of refinement that she wants to see. So I think that she had a big hand in that.
Were there other structures like that nearby that just aren't around today, or was Salubria kind of just out there by itself
at the time? Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was the biggest deal.
Yeah.
yeah it really was. I think that just like the Enchanted Castle was built on the edge of the wilderness, you know, I think that Salubria was also kind of built on the edge of the wilderness, and it really stands out for its grandeur.
Yeah. No, I had never heard of it, had never seen any pictures of it until I first met you, and then we've been out there several times, and there's so much history. We talk about colonial history, but also the Civil War.
Yeah.
Salubria has been there for a lot of things.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, Salubria obviously predates the Revolutionary War. We know that Reverend Thompson died a few years before the war kicks off, but his son owns it, and we have records that say that, you know, he was providing hogs and other things to the Continental Army. By the time you get to the Civil War, we know that there were several battles very nearby, but you would have been able to see cavalry battles from the back door of Salubria.
When you've talked about that, it's amazing.
Yeah, and the house itself was used as a residence for some northern officers. So it has quite the Civil War history as well. And then in the 20th century, we have Carey T. Grayson, who ends up becoming the physician for President Wilson. And so, you know, it still kind of has that level of prestige being owned by him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So interesting. Besides Salubria, and again, you could spend a lot of time just exploring all the different facets of historic Germana, but the trails along the river that you had that are tied to historic Germana are, again, You ought to go see the trails.
Well, I feel like we kind of have a little bit of something for everyone.
Yeah.
So if you're into archaeology, we've got you covered. If you're into historic houses, we've got you covered. If you are not really into history, but just really want a place that you can walk a trail, you're into nature, we have about 7 miles of trails in what we call the Ziegen Forest. So that's 170 acres right along the Rapidan River. So you can, and we also have a new boat launch. So if you want to launch your canoe or kayak, we've got a spot for you. But a lot of folks just, I mean, come there to walk the trails, bring their dogs. There's a couple of spots, and you know, it's funny because I think a lot of the people who go down to the river think it's their secret spot. So maybe I shouldn't be saying this on the radio, but there's some really great places. We have people with floats and loungers that go in and just enjoy, you know, kind of soaking up the water and
yeah.
the sun.
And it's if you want to just walk along the river there, that's great. But if you also want to go up higher, it's a mm-hmm. workout to get up to, but easily you can easily do it, and you get a great view of mm-hmm. just the area and with the river below.
Right. So if you follow the trail, you do get to an overlook, and I think the overlook is about 80 feet up from the river. And so if you make it to the top of it, it's a gorgeous view of the Rapidan and the forest around it.
So Germana.org is all the information about historic Germana, and there are ways people can get involved.
Oh, right. Well, so, you know, just like I said, we have something for everybody as far as visiting. If you are looking to volunteer, the archaeologists are always looking for volunteers. We're also looking for volunteers in the visitor center. And, you know, I have to say, of course, you know, we are a nonprofit organization. So if you love the work that we do, we are always looking for more support. But I will also say that this is our 70th anniversary. I think we didn't mention that before.
We're going to get into that after this break and talk much more about that. Because, the 70th anniversary this year is again, worth celebrating. And you've got some things coming up to let people know about that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Germana.org, again, for all kinds of information. We're going to take a quick break and come back with Jennifer Hurst-Wender and talk about the 70th anniversary. There's a conference and reunion and just all kinds of things going on. And we will do that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:29.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Jennifer Hurst-Wender is here from Historic Germana, Germana.org. Germana.org is the website that can give you all kinds of information. And happy 70th birthday. It's taken me I should have started out by saying, you know, happy birthday, but 70 years for Historic Germana.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, as an organization, you know, a nonprofit organization, a historical group, we have been a 501c3 for 70 years. So in 1956, after a lot of the descendants of those original German immigrants had been meeting up, they call themselves the family of families. And so, you know, you have all of the families that came over in 1714 and 1717 that have been having reunions since around World War II. And they ended up getting a couple of really great benefactors and incorporated in 1956. And that's when they purchased that 270 acres where we have the Ziegen Forest, you know, which a few years later they donated 100 of it to the Germana Community College. But so we have been an organization since 1956. So this year we were like, you know, it's America's 250th and it's our 70th and we're really going to do it up. So we have had several really fun events through the year, but our biggest event is coming up Thursday, July 16th through Sunday, July 19th, and that's our annual conference and the reunion. So in keeping with that historical idea that, you know, people have been meeting the third week in July for well over 70 years. But, you know, we are so much more than a descendants organization. We are a true public history site. Mm-hmm. And so we have a ton of events and activities from Thursday, July 16th to Sunday, July 19th. Do you want me to go into them right now?
Yeah, but yes, okay. Please do, because I just think it's before we do that, real quick, how interesting it is that there these reunions have been taking place. Mm-hmm. There is such a sense of family, mm-hmm. and the people come back and really take this seriously.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, we have thousands. Well, there are millions of Germana descendants all over the world, but you know, we have thousands of them that are still very, very heavily connected to our organization, which is so fantastic. But, you know, like I said, we're a public history site and we want to make sure that we are serving our community. So, you know, our events are by no means do you have to be a Germana descendant to enjoy this.
Right. You know, you can be interested in history and mm-hmm. just this area.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if you are a local history enthusiast or, you know, just an American history enthusiast, this is your event. I'll say that on Thursday, like I mentioned, we're having the Public Archaeology Day. So that's going to be a really great experience. You can go talk to the archaeologists. And I have to tell you, you know, the archaeologists, most of them are interns or field school students, and so, you know, they're young and they're vibrant and they're so enthusiastic to be talking about the things that they have recently brought out of the ground. So it's a really fun day. And then we're also, that weekend only, in our archaeology center, we're going to have a very special exhibit that's going to have objects that we're bringing down. We're bringing down a robe, a ministerial robe that was worn by Peter Muhlenberg. He was a Lutheran preacher, but he's also kind of... I gotta tell this story because
okay.
It's super cool. So Peter Muhlenberg, he was a minister in Virginia, a Lutheran minister. He goes to St. John's and actually is there to hear Patrick Henry give his famous "Give me liberty or give me death" speech.
Yeah,
and so he really takes it to heart. And so the story is, and I say this is a story, is that he went back to his congregation. And he is he's preaching that there is a time for every season, right?
Yeah.
And so he's like, there's a time for peace. And then he's wearing his robe and he takes his robe off and he says there is a time for war, and he's wearing his Continental Soldier uniform underneath the robe. And so so this robe still exists. And our visitors are going to get the chance to see a recently made replica of that robe and that story. So I think that's really neat.
Yeah.
But also we're getting some objects on loan from the Fredericksburg Area Museum and from our own collection to really kind of represent the story of Germana. So it's this one weekend only exhibit that you can come see. And so I hope you guys come out. Friday... we are partnering with Little Fork Church, and I don't know if you all have ever heard of Little Fork Church, but it is also celebrating its 250th anniversary. So it was the last church in America that was paid for by British money. Because it was the last Anglican church that was built in this country. So it was completed in 1776. So we're doing this really cool Before Religious Freedom symposium, and we're bringing in speakers from different religious faiths to talk about how, you know, the difference between the Anglican church and not being able to really practice a difference in religion really pushed the different faiths to want religious freedom in our new constitution. So that's going to be a really cool event. And then on Saturday is going to be our history conference. And we've got speakers that are going to be kind of talking about local history through the American Revolution. So a lot of talk about the Culpeper Pepper Minutemen, a little bit more about Peter Muhlenberg and that 8th Virginia Regiment, some about the ironworks in the region, and a whole bunch of other speakers. So that's going to be super cool. And then, you know, there's lots more. There's an Oktoberfest, lots of special events. So I hope that y'all will go onto our website. And the great thing about it is that you can attend one of these events or you can attend all of these events. But we really hope to see y'all out there.
Yeah, no, this gives you, we've talked about some of these areas, but you'd really dig deep into them with a lot of these programs. These are all really interesting programs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're super excited about our programs for this year.
Well, that was the robe story. I've never heard that story. It's a great story.
Yeah.
And the fact that in just the church, I did not realize to have that church as the last church.
Right, and you know, it's so neat because that church has also been conserved to what it looked like when it was first constructed, which is very different than a normal church.
I'm sure.
So you don't have pews in a row, you have boxes.
I was going to ask you if that's what it was.
Yeah.
Because you see that in movies.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's a really cool experience to go out there.
Well, Jennifer, the whole historic Germana, the kind of the framework when you talk about the Germans coming here, and how they have stayed, it's just so different to have a group like this that comes and still remains so tight and has these reunions every year and is involved in so many things.
Right. Well, you know, and a lot of times, I mean, you know, our Route 3 through Orange and into Culpeper, I think, is called Germana Highway.
Yeah.
You know, so the history is very much part of that region. Because the original 1714 and 1717 colonists, the German colonists, kind of spread out after their indenture was over throughout the area, there is a really large German presence, a historical presence, in not just these places, but the surrounding counties. So Orange and Culpeper and Madison and Fauquier, they all have that influence from these original colonists. And so a lot of times what we say is that it's actually the Germana region, which is why we are so excited to partner, you know, with those other historic sites in the area that kind of tell that German story. So Little Fork and then in Madison County is the Hebron Lutheran Church. You know, but just the influence in the area is very heavy.
Absolutely. And it is so interesting. You've mentioned it several times about the public history part of what you're doing. You really do, you know, work in a number of different realms. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the history realm, whether it's the German realm.
Mm-hmm.
There are various facets of German, and that's why maybe you're interested in history, and that's what you want to focus on. But there are a whole lot of other things that you can focus on, whether it's the archaeology, the education, and just the overall history.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think, and you mentioned education, and we do have as far as K-12 education, we have a very successful archaeology in the classroom program where our archaeologists will actually go to schools, because I know field trips are kind of difficult. But we have a program where we bring artifacts, and we also bring 3D replicas of artifacts so they can easily be handled. And I have to say that those programs are free thanks to, you know, community sponsorships. So, and of course, we love field trips. So the great thing about anybody who comes as a field trip is they get to visit the archaeology site and the archaeology center, but then they also get to go down to the river and learn about, you know, the importance of rivers as modes of transportation and really kind of sources of life. So it's fun. We love it when we have the kids come.
Well, and the archaeology center is something special where you can see a lot lot of things. A lot of places that do archaeology are not that mm-hmm. open to be able to actually see things up close and talk to the archaeologists mm-hmm. about what they're doing, what they found, and what they think is there.
Yeah, so in 2019, we were so fortunate to open up our HIT Archaeology Center because, as I mentioned, you know, our archaeology site is very difficult to get to. So not everybody who visits on any random day is going to be able to visit the actual archaeology site. So the Archaeology Center has exhibits. It has a lot of the artifacts that have been uncovered, and it's also a laboratory, so that's where our archaeologists are able to process the artifacts that they've brought from the site. And so any given day, you'd be able to see archaeologists in the lab working with the artifacts that had just come out of the dirt, but you also get to see the highlights of the different kinds of objects that we've brought out and the story that they tell.
Well, 70 years is something is really something to celebrate.
Yeah.
And it is nice that it comes up on the 250th mm-hmm. and that you can partner up with the VA 250 thing.
Right.
Because so many people are going all across the state in learning about so many things. And there's a lot to there's more to colonial history than just Williamsburg and uh-huh. you know, some of the other places that get all the attention. The stories that you have told today and the stories that you can find at Historic Germana right in our backyard is just really a unique situation.
Yeah. And, you know, if you do get the chance to visit our website and you go to the history tab on our website, we do have the history of the German immigrants. And recently we partnered with some tribal citizens and were able to create a really detailed page about the indigenous history connected to Germana as well. So if you go there and you read about that, so, you know, even before 1714, Germana Ford has been a crossing for you know, probably 1,000 years, people have been using it as a crossing. And so the stories, we have some oral history there. It's really great to explore that.
One of the great things when you go to Salubria too is not only is the house hasn't been touched and you know you're stepping back, but just walking the grounds, because so many places have become mm-hmm. kind of like what Salem Church is. You go to Salem Church and it's just grown up all around it.
Right.
You can stand there and look around and just and see open fields. Mm-hmm. You're not seeing subdivisions or, you know, shopping centers.
That's really true. And we're really fortunate that the landowners that surround Salubria have put a conservation easement on that property. So it's going to be a beautiful landscape, you know, for forever.
Yeah. Now, the art, especially the archaeology side of things is just so interesting to mm-hmm. be able to see. You can read about the Enchanted Castle, or just to even consider that where the courthouse was is where it was, that when it was there, it was Spotsylvania County.
Yes.
And just that alone, you start thinking this was a different world back then.
Absolutely. And I mean, when you think about historic courthouses and how they were used, you know, you would have court day once every other month. And so the little sleepy town that became known as the town of Germana, you know, it's Spotsylvania Courthouse, but once every 2 months, it would come alive. I mean, it would just be such an influx of everybody who had business to do with the courthouse all there at once. And so I imagine people from all walks of life, you know, joining together in this one location, and, you know, just everybody there swelling, you know, the entire community.
Oh, it is. You know, and the archaeologists, when they talk about it and things that they've seen and the stories, the things that they've seen, you know, that they have gotten from diaries and all.
Right.
It's such an interesting story.
Yeah. And so one of the earliest cases that was actually at the Spotsylvania Courthouse in 1724 pertains to an indigenous man named Sawnee, who was sent from He was sent from New York to deliver a message to Spotswood. And Spotswood was not there at the time when Sonny arrives. And hijinks ensue in the community, but we get this firsthand account of the people who were living there testifying about what happened that night from multiple different perspectives. You know, so we get the tavern keeper's wife. We get, we get the blacksmith. We get all of these different people who are talking about that experience. And, you know, you want to talk about a snapshot of what was going on. You get like seven different testimonies all about, I mean, it could be a movie.
It could be. You're right. No, I've heard them talk about it. You're right. Yeah. Now, in this, it's one thing when you read about history, but to come out and to see a celebrity, to come out and see these archaeological sites, you're seeing history right up close.
Yeah. And it is such a interesting time in history, because in 1714, you know, there was no English, there was no colonial road going across the Rapidan. That was it. That was the fort on the edge of the wilderness. So of course, very quickly after that, it does expand across the Rapidan. But for that brief moment in time, that was it. That was the edge of European colonialism in this country.
Isn't that interesting? I've never realized that. Yeah. So interesting. So tickets for this.
Oh, right. So if you go to germana.org, you will see front page and center, learn more, buy tickets. And it's go to germana.org, click on what you see right front and center about the conference and reunion for tickets. And we highly, highly recommend that you sign up for our e-news. We have a weekly e-news that comes out, tells you about the special events. It tells you a lot of historical facts. We would love for you to sign up.
And follow on Facebook, because you have a great Facebook page that's very active. And you do a lot of Facebook Live history conversations.
Right, we do. So we are on Facebook and Instagram, but it's Historic Germana, but also Germana Archaeology. And I have to say that our Germana archaeologist just opened a TikTok.
So really?
Yes.
Really?
They have been having so much fun.
That is so interesting. Germana.org to find out more information. Again, the conference and reunion, July 16th through the 19th. Quick break with Jennifer Hurst Wender, and we'll wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
We've been talking about Historic Germana this morning. The Historic Germana's 70th anniversary, the annual conference and reunion, July 16th through the 19th. And again, you get me mentioned Jennifer Hurst Wender tickets at germana.org.
Right. Yeah. So you can get tickets online. If you run into any problems online, you can give us a call at the office, 540-423-1700. And we can take care of you, but you should just be able to get tickets online. We would love to see you at the conference, the symposium, the Oktoberfest, all of the different events that we have. And the tickets, you can just go ahead and buy them a la carte. I will say that our Public Archaeology Day, you do not need tickets.
Okay.
So you would just have to show up at the Visitor Center, and we would give you a free timed ticket, because, as I've said, it's a one-way dirt road to get to the Archaeology Center, so we need to make sure that we're monitoring traffic. But show up at the Visitor Center on Thursday, July 16th, from 10 to, I think, 2, and you can go visit our archaeology site.
I heard you do a commercial the other day. I heard you do a commercial, and you referred to it as a unique summer weekend adventure.
Right.
And I thought that really is a great way to describe this. If you're looking for... You don't have to go to King's Dominion or Busch Gardens for an adventure. This mm-hmm. would be a great adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so great because, you know, like I've said, this is a very unique part of our history. It's very local history, but it's also nationally important.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for something unique to do for the 250th, I could not recommend this more.
Yeah, and it's right here, mm-hmm. and you will be amazed at all of the stories. I mean, you've just scratched the surface.
Oh, very much so.
All these stories, and the archaeology is just off the charts.
Yeah.
Salubria is just terrific.
Right.
The trails, it is. This is a summer adventure, and the history and the dedication of these Germans who came mm-hmm. and founded Germania. It's just a great story.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, no matter what your interest, we've probably got something that you are going to love at Germania. So definitely check out our website, learn more about all of the things that you can do with us. And you know, if you were here and you heard me on the radio and you come by and say something about that, you know, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, 70 years. Happy anniversary.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Again, 70 years is a great story, and so many of us still are just learning about all that there is. But there's areas of historic Germania you've talked about this morning that I didn't even know. So, Germania.org is all the information. Jennifer Hurst-Wender, we need to do this more.
Absolutely.
So
anytime.
We will. Thanks for coming in, and mm-hmm. Have a great summer.
All right. Thanks. You too.
That's it. Thanks for listening. Germania.org. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.